Good evening, and welcome to The Lost Chord, a weekly program of unusual and neglected repertoire. I'm Ross Amico, and I sincerely hope you'll stay with me for the next hour as we listen to music by anti-fascist composers who remained in Nazi Germany. Staying power is what we call tonight's program. We hear quite a bit about musicians who fled the tyranny of the Nazis in the 1930s and 40s. In recent decades, we've also discovered quite a lot of music by those who were unable to escape and who perished in the Holocaust. A group which seems to have faded from memory is that made up of composers who remained in Nazi Germany, opposed to the regime, and yet somehow survived. There are plenty of opportunists, certainly, who joined the Nazi Party as a means to curry favor in the hopes of securing prominent posts. Then there were those who, while critical of the Nazis, nevertheless joined the party to protect their families and to continue working. Richard Strauss was 68 in 1933. While he never officially joined the Nazi Party, Strauss kept up the appearance of collaboration early on in an attempt to influence Hitler as concerned musical matters. He also tried to protect his Jewish colleagues, his daughter-in-law who was Jewish, and his grandchildren. He was privately contemptuous of Goebbels, and apparently the feeling was mutual. Eventually, Strauss was dismissed from his post as president of the Reichsmusikkammer, though he was famous enough that he remained safe until the end of the war. What we have for you this evening is music by less famous, flagrantly anti-fascist composers who remained in Germany during the Nazi regime. This type of opposition was described by Thomas Mann as inner immigration. These composers were condemned by the Nazis, their music labeled degenerate and banned from performance. They were either prevented from escape, or remained of their own accord, or in a show of social consciousness. Some were active in resistance circles, others simply withdrew through ostentatious silence. Let's begin with Reinhard Schwarz Schilling, not a terribly well-known composer, largely for the reasons I just mentioned. Schwarz Schilling had been a professor of music at the Berlin Academy of Music. During Hitler's reign, his family was subjected to frequent interrogations of the Gestapo. Luckily, it was never found out that Schwarz Schilling's wife, the concert pianist Duse von Hagrid, was of Jewish descent. It was only through the beneficence and courage of a sympathetic official who falsified documents that the Schwarz Schillings escaped arrest. Schwarz Schilling may have survived the Nazis, but following the war, he had to deal with the musical establishment, which had grown hostile to flagrantly tonal music. Something like his violin concerto of 1953 couldn't be taken seriously. It starts out sounding a bit like Hindemith, but embraces Korngoldian sentiment at its candy core. And if you can't stick around for the whole show, I hope you'll at least stay tuned for the gorgeous slow movement of this concerto. Here is violinist Kirill Trusoff with the Staatskapelle Weimar under the direction of José Serebrière in the Violin Concerto by Reinhard Schwarz Schilling.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
music dating from 1953 by Reinhard Schwarz Schilling. That was his violin concerto. The soloist was Kirill Trusov with the Staatskapelle Weimar under the direction of José Serebrière. I'm especially fond of the tender slow movement of that work. Reinhard Schwarz Schilling, a composer who remained in Nazi Germany despite his anti-fascist views. He never joined the party, and he and his family were subjected to some very tense times during the regime. Staying power. Anti-fascist composers who remained in Nazi Germany this week. You're listening to The Lost Chord. We turn next to Carl Amadeus Hartmann, regarded in some circles as the most important German symphonist of the mid-20th century, yet he is now largely overlooked. In his 30s, Hartmann was viewed as politically undesirable in his homeland. He completely withdrew from musical life during the Nazi era. In the event any of his works would have been permitted performance, Hartmann would not allow it. Also, most of his greatest champions were his contemporaries. Therefore, performances of his music nearly died with them. After the war, Hartmann was one of the few prominent surviving anti-fascists in Bavaria, whom the Allied forces could promote to a position of responsibility. Hartmann used that trust to reintroduce the world to music which had been banned since 1933 under National Socialist aesthetic policy. He remained in Munich for the rest of his life, where his administrative duties cut heavily into what would have been his compositional time and energy. He died in 1963. As I said, his biggest champions died not long after. Major conductors failed to take up his works. In recent years, however, several have become advocates for Hartmann's symphonies. This one seems to have been one of the most successful of the bunch. There are 8 of them in all. Here's the London Philharmonic Orchestra, under the direction of Leon Botstein, in the Symphony No. 6 of Carl Amadeus Hartmann.
Thank you.
Music composed between 1951 and 1953 by Carl Amadeus Hartmann. That was the Symphony No. 6. The London Philharmonic Orchestra was conducted by Leon Botstein. Hartmann, a composer who survived the Nazi regime, despite being known to oppose the policies of the Third Reich. He was promoted by the Allies following World War II to become an important figure in German music. Yet his own music remains mostly unknown outside his native land, though a number of conductors have taken up his cause in recent years. And with the Symphony No. 6 by Carl Amadeus Hartmann, we come to the conclusion of tonight's program. An hour of music by anti-fascist composers who remained in Nazi Germany. Staying Power. I'm Ross Amico. Thanks very much for joining me for this week's edition of The Lost Chord. Funding for this program has been provided in part by the listener members of the Classical Network. Make a donation today at wwfm.org. Thank you for supporting the Classical Network. For more information on The Lost Chord, recommended recordings, and more, visit my Facebook page and be sure to like me at Classic Ross Amico.